from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. Well, happy Friday, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us today. And wow, what a busy week. We've got a lot going on. As a matter of fact, the President of the United States is expected to speak from the Oval Office any moment now. And guys, just let me know when we've got the President, and we'll break in. He was supposed to speak straight up at noon, at the noon hour, but you know how these things go in D.C. So we'll bring you the President's comments. We typically, when it comes to making announcements from the Oval Office, those are issues of great importance. So we will keep you updated, and we'll try to dip into the president's remarks here when they happen. By the way, yesterday, wow, that interview blew up, didn't it, ladies and gentlemen? I was getting messages. This was really funny. Last night I was getting ready to host Greg Kelly's show, and kudos to Newsmax. Newsmax said, "Hey, we want to run the entire unedited interview. Can we do that?" And I said, "Yes, yeah, sure. Why not? Go right ahead." And so we did last night on Greg Kelly's show. So anyway, in the lead up to that, I was getting messages, and I kid you not, someone said, "Todd, they're mentioning you on ABC News with David Muir." And then someone said, "Todd, they're talking about you on CNN." Then I got one saying, "Todd, are you watching CBS News right now?" I typically don't. But anyway, thank you to everybody for sharing the interview with President Trump and commenting on it as well. We've got tens of thousands of people weighing in, and the president covered a lot of ground. You know, a lot of the attention was focused on President Trump announcing that he was going to go patrol the streets last night with the National Guard, which he did. But there were so many other things that the president referenced. We learned that we should find out if there's going to be peace between Russia and Ukraine in about 2 weeks. That's new information that came out yesterday. And the president also telling us that there are a good many Republican governors out there who are standing in the way of the banning of mail-in ballots. And that's a big problem. So just a lot of ground. And if you would like to listen to the entire interview, we have that as a standalone podcast, free of charge. We're not making any money off of that. So you can download it free of charge at toddstarnes.com. Just click on the podcast link, and it'll take you directly there. So again, thank you for sharing and calling in. By the way, today, Open Line Friday, that means you can talk about whatever you would like to talk about. If you have questions about President Trump, if you have questions about the administration, whatever you want to talk about today, Cracker Barrel, for example, we shall take your calls. Our telephone number, and I want you to write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we'll be taking your calls throughout the program. So, John Bolton, can we talk about this? I'm fascinated by the story, but you have to go all the way back, and there's a lot of background here and a lot of context. Now, there are even a lot of people in the MAGA world saying, "Well, F-A-F-O, F-A-F-O." That's not what this is. And as much as we would love that, the reality is there very well may have been some serious, serious crimes committed by John Bolton. Now, let's go back into the Todd Starnes radio show time machine to the year of our Lord, 2020. And it was then that John Bolton, who was on the outs with the administration, had written a book. And the White House warned him at the time, back in 2020, this was 5 years ago, the White House warned him, "Hey, we've got some problems here, and you've got some problems, and there is a significant amount of classified intel that was in the manuscript of Bolton's book." There was actually a letter dated in January 23rd of that year. Ellen Knight, National Security Council Senior Director for Records, Access, and Information Security, And she actually wrote to John Bolton's attorneys at the time and said the classified information contained, and I'm reading from Breitbart, by the way, that the classified information contained in the book, The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir, made it unsuitable for release and requested that the sensitive details be removed. Those details were not removed. So Catherine Herridge over at Fox is now reporting that all of this stems from this classified material, for whatever it is. And Catherine Herridge is saying that the Biden administration had a chance to go after Bolton on all of this, but they did not. As a matter of fact, according to Catherine Herridge and her reporting, the Biden administration actually squashed the investigation. Catherine saying, what's old is apparently new again in the Bolton investigation. The government insists the book contained sensitive information and could compromise national security. The Office of the Department of National Intelligence was deeply involved in the classification issue breaches. I'm reading from Catherine's social media pages here. From Judge Lambert at the time, this was back in 2020. While Bolton's unilateral conduct raises grave national security concerns, the government has not established that an injunction is an appropriate remedy. So that's where we're at so far. The raids were conducted earlier this morning. I think 5:30 this morning. They did not break down the front door. The front door still looks intact. So there was just probably a knock at the door, and they said, you know, we've got search warrants. We're raiding your home. No, I don't know if they rummaged through his underwear drawer. We'll find out that information. The raids involved government records, but the question I have is, why did the Biden administration shut down the investigation in the first place, right? So is it possible that they did that, they shut it down, because Bolton was such a fierce critic of Donald Trump back in the day? Is that possible? By the way, we are now hearing that even more investigations and more raids may be coming. So this is all very fascinating as it's unfolding right now. And I know all of you, I know there are a lot of people out there, and we have a lot of new listeners, and they're saying, this is nothing more than political retribution. Trump said he's a dictator. He's a dictator, that Trump. No. Trump, by the way, said he didn't know anything about this at all. As a matter of fact, here's President Trump, cut number three.
When I hired him, he served a good purpose because, as you know, he was one of the people that forced Bush to do the ridiculous bombings in the Middle East. He wants to always kill people. And he's very bad at what he does, but he worked out great for me because every time he doesn't talk, he's like a very quiet person, except on television. If he could say something bad about Trump, he'll always do that. But he really doesn't talk. He's quiet. And I'd walk into a room with him with a foreign country, and the foreign country would give me everything because they said, oh, no, they're going to get blown up because John Bolton's there. He's not a smart guy, but he could be a very unpatriotic guy. I mean, we're going to find out. I know nothing about it. I just saw it this morning. They did a raid.
Do you expect the DOJ to brief you on this?
They'll brief me probably today sometime.
And the foreign minister.
I don't want to. I tell Pam and I tell the group. I don't want to know about it. Just you have to do what you have to do. I don't want to know about it. It's not necessary. I could know about it. I could be the one starting it. I'm actually the chief law enforcement officer, but I feel that it's better this way.
You know, I love our president, and I have to say, part of me wants to have seen him there, like at the front door with the FBI jacket on. You've got the vest, you've got the badge. I would have loved to have seen that. That would have been pretty brilliant. But again, nobody got arrested. This is all just a matter of collecting evidence right now. But if John Bolton is actually found guilty of what he may be accused of doing, he could actually spend the rest of his life in jail. That's how serious of an issue this is. But again, people are saying, well, he's only doing this because the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago. That's the only reason. No, it's not. Hear me. There is a very clear difference between John Bolton and Joe Biden, for example, and others who had the classified information. President Trump was allowed to hold that information. He was allowed to declassify that information. President Trump, under the auspices of the presidency, had every right to have all of the documents that he had. Joe Biden, on the other hand, did not. When he was vice president, Biden had absolutely no right to take any classified materials out of the White House. None whatsoever. And neither did John Bolton. So that's the big difference here. Well, MSDNC, pardon me, what are they now? PMS now. They are not taking this very well at all. Take a listen.
He thought that the president's summit in Alaska with Vladimir Putin was going to be a disaster. In fact, even before the summit occurred, he said that Trump had handed Putin a win. In fact, Trump went to social media to criticize Bolton for those comments. And now, a few days later, we have this. We don't know there's a link, but we certainly know this is a president who has promised retribution.
Yeah, this is chilling. It really is. Listen, John Bolton and I disagreed on many things back in the days when I was serving in public office, but I don't think very many people that know John Bolton would argue that his beliefs were intellectually sound. You could disagree with him, and that he gave a lot to this country in terms of time and his intellect and his work ethic. And it clearly, this is retribution. Clearly, this is using the FBI in a way that not only tarnishes the FBI, but it tarnishes our country. I mean, this is what they do in countries where they don't have rule of law. This is what happens when despots take over, like Putin.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. PMS Now is raging over there at PMS Now. He's a dictator, that Trump. He hates America. This is retribution. They're going to throw us all in jail. The FBI, the state police. Why the hell is it so hot in here? Turn on the AC. That's PMS Now, ladies and gentlemen. Just take it easy. Take a breath. Somebody head over to the drugstore. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. It is not open line Friday. We're going to get to your calls. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's get to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Susie in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Susie. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I want to tell you, I know that you know what a blessed man you are, Todd, to have come in contact in your life with all these important people and got to interview them and talk to them in person and see them. I'm not envious of you, Todd, but I just want to say I appreciate you, and I'm so glad you have got to do this. And the interview yesterday with our president was wonderful, Todd. And I know you will be safer Monday because I just heard there's no burgers in D.C. last night.
Wow. Right. Susie, that's what I'm excited about is I'm getting there a little bit early so I can do some sightseeing and check everything out. Because normally, whenever I go to Washington, you're either at the hotel, the Newsmax Bureau, or the White House, or the Capitol. Those are the only places you go because it's just not, you know, it's just not safe. You know, it's really not, Susie. But now, thank goodness for Donald J. Trump. I hear it is a whole different town already.
Yes, that's what I hear too, Todd. And I would love to get fold up and get in your bag and go with you.
Well, come on down, Susie. You know what, Susie? I love the show and I love what we do here. And one of the things that and yesterday was definitely an exciting day. But the reality is I find as much joy and happiness talking to our great audience as I do, you know, the leader of the free world. And that's just the way I've always conducted the show, and that's how we're always going to do it. And, you know, I went back and listened to it, Susie, and I think one of the things that really sets us apart from other talk show hosts, and I don't mean this in a braggadocious way at all, but I just like to shut up and let my guests talk. And a lot of times you have these hosts that constantly interrupt or want to make it all about themselves. And you guys already know all about me. I wanted to hear from the president yesterday.
Right. I did too, Todd. I did too. And Todd, I know your mom and dad would be so proud of you.
Well, Susie, you are kind to say that. I know both mom and dad are in heaven now, but they were big, big Republicans and conservatives, and they had a grand old time. They were so excited when I was able to get to, you know, Fox News back in the day. So, Susie, thank you so much, and God bless you. Thank you for those kind words. 901-260-5926. I have to brag on some folks. Just a few moments ago, there was a knock on our broadcast bunker door, and we didn't know what was going down. We were not expecting visitors today, and there was a member of the Shelby County Republican Women's Club. And I've got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I know we've got a lot of great Republican women out there across America, but there are none finer than the Shelby County Republican Women's Club. And they baked us a homemade plate of a plate of homemade chocolate chip cookies. And Dylan, you are salivating. I saw you at the door.
I've had four.
Sweet Lord.
Skipping lunch today.
Four.
They're small, but they're really delicious.
But you saw what she said. These are for you, and these are for the staff. That was very kind.
Very kind. She set aside a plate for you.
I love that.
So you can't steal my cookies.
And a gift card to JoJo's, my favorite coffee place.
One of the best coffee places in Memphis.
It's pretty awesome. Don't you be taking that card now. So they sent me a note along with the delicious homemade chocolate chip cookies. Todd, thank you for elevating our horrific crime problem in the city of Memphis to the man, President Trump. We love you, Todd, your friends, Carrie Schween, and the Shelby County Republican Women's Club. I love that. You see, good can come out of crime. We got homemade cookies. I love that. So thank you very much, ladies. That was very thoughtful of you. I really appreciate that. And I can't wait to dig into those delicious cookies. Don't forget, Monday, we are going to be broadcasting live from the White House. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to see President Trump in the Oval Office, invited him to, you know, come and say hello. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And we're going to bring you along with us for the entire ride. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Coming back, it's Open Line Friday. If you want to weigh in on President Trump's remarks from yesterday, we're waiting for the president to give remarks from the Oval Office momentarily. And we'll take you live to D.C. when that happens. Our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There is a pretty ferocious gubernatorial race underway in the great Commonwealth of Virginia. And the Lieutenant Governor, Winsome Earl Sears, who is a military veteran, a strong conservative, and she's also a minority. She's a black woman, and she's out there campaigning against the Democrats, and it's just ugly. And what we're beginning to realize, and this is something that that's happening across the nation, but in Virginia, this incident that occurred yesterday really did hit home. And it's a reminder that the Democrats have always been in their hearts. They have always been a racist political party. Always. They've never repented for the original sin of slavery. They've never apologized for maligning and marginalizing black people in this country. They've never apologized for standing in the way of civil rights. They've never apologized for their affiliation with the KKK. They've just never done that. So therefore, that strain of evil has always been there, always been there. And I know they love to blame the Republicans for all this stuff, but it's very clearly, I mean, if you want to go through history, history will teach you that the Democrat Party is birthed and rooted in racism. It is what it is. So I wasn't terribly surprised when a woman showed up at a meeting in Arlington, Virginia, and there was a woman holding a sign. And the sign said, "Hey, Winsome, if trans can't share your bathroom, then blacks can't share my water fountain." I am serious. That's exactly what the sign says. And I want to know who is this woman? Have we been able to identify her as a Klans person or a Klans woman? This is insane. So Governor Glenn Youngkin is weighing in on this, and he too is just as horrified as everybody else about the ugliness that's happening in this race. But here on this program, it's going to be important for us to start calling out this racism. By the way, I want to give you a quick update here. The president's announcement from the Oval Office was supposed to be at noon Eastern. We understand the president is not even at the White House yet, so he's still at the Kennedy Center. We will let you know what's going on. It's a sort of a weird day. I mean, the president made an unannounced visit early this morning to another location in D.C. So there's some weird stuff going down, and we'll keep you updated on that and the president's comings and goings. But the governor, Youngkin, says the stakes in the election could not be clearer, and this hateful sign shows just how far the radical left will go to drag Virginia backward. And the governor's got a great point here. I mean, the Democrat Party, they really do want blacks chained to their policies and their politics. They don't want black people in this country to excel or exceed. And those who are elected to office on the Democrat side of the aisle, many of them are bought and paid for. I mean, it's a terrible situation. And I hate this for Winsome Sears, that this kind of hatred and racism would you know, rear its ugly head again in the 21st century. It's just mind-boggling to me. But there you go. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Joe in Sea Island, Georgia. Joe, how's the vacation treating you?
Todd, it's great, and they love you down here in Sea Island. And I tell you what, I think Trump is the best. The market today hit an all-time high. Again, it continues to hit an all-time high. And I really believe that God put Donald Trump in the White House to save America. And I'm down here at Sea Island, people all over the country, and everybody I'm talking to loves Trump. But this stock market is something I've never seen. I think last week when I talked to you, it hit an all-time high. Well, it's up 900 points. The Dow, I've never seen this in my life. Today it's up 900 points, and I think that's a reflection of Trump and the best cabinet in history. And I just think things are great in America, and you're great. And by the way, I saw you on Newsmax last night, and I think you did a great job. I think Newsmax is really coming on strong. I watch them all the time, and I know you're a big addition. But anyway, I know you got other callers, so I'll be quiet. But
Joe,
keep up the great work, and they love you down here at Sea Island.
Well, Joe, thank you, and I hope to see you over at Sea Island one of these days. It is on my vacation list, so you'll have to give me some good places to go and eat while I'm over there.
We'll be glad to do that, Todd. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks a lot. That's our good buddy Joe from Ellijay, Georgia. He lives in the North Georgia Mountains, which is beautiful, and loves to spend his summers over at Sea Island off the coast of Georgia, which I understand is just a gorgeous area. It's the only, I think the closest I got was Epworth by the Sea, which is where they have a lot of church retreats in that area. We used to go there back in the day. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I saw this story. Cracker Barrel has just really stepped in it. This is unbelievable. So they're, according to CBS News, Cracker Barrel has lost $100 million in value. Stock has plunged. I mean plunged. People are just really upset about the new logo, the redesigned stores, the food. It's not going well. Shares fell about 7.2% on Thursday, and they lost just yesterday $94 million in market value. It's just remarkable. So it turns out that the DEI hire, who now runs Cracker Barrel, is part of this generation, and it's sort of a millennial Gen Z-ish kind of a situation where they want to modernize everything, which is why Cracker Barrel decided they got to get rid of the phrase old country store. They got to get rid of the Cracker Barrel and the cracker who was leaning in a chair. That's Uncle Herschel, by the way, in the design. And Cracker Barrel said, no, we got to clean all of this up because people don't like clutter. They want bright and airy, and people are tired of old stuff. And they said Cracker Barrel was old and stuffy, which is why they had to do the redesign. You know, McDonald's used to do that. Many of you will remember a time that when you went to McDonald's, you had the bright reds and the yellows. And it was just a fun place to go. You had all the characters. You had Mayor McCheese, Grimace, the Hamburglar, the little creepy nugget children. That was like, people love that because it was for kids, right? It was for kids. And now it looks like some sort of a corporate Starbucks. I don't know. I have no idea who thought that was the right way to go. As if elevating the look and making it just generic and almost dystopian. It's just dystopian. Anyway, Cracker Barrel has now released a statement. It's bad. And the statement makes it worse. In the statement, here's what they have to say. Our values haven't changed, and the heart and soul of Cracker Barrel haven't changed. Really? Then why did you change the logo? Why did you do that? Unbelievable. Conservatives are riled up. One brand strategist said the redesign simplifies an overly complex logo. So all the young people coming out of these universities, these woke universities, it's all about getting rid of the clutter. But there you go. Cracker Barrel soared in the 1990s. And they've slowed down a little bit. And I think the reason why they've slowed down, and maybe if you've been to Cracker Barrel, you know, you can weigh in on this, you would know. I just don't think the food is as good as it used to be. And it's also not as plentiful as it used to be. And I think that's a big problem. And I would be willing to wager, because, you know, a lot of these, there are these restaurants like Applebee's and TGI Fridays. A lot of that food is already either cooked somewhere else, and then it's flash frozen and then sent to the restaurants, and they just reheat it. You know, I don't think a lot of the food is actually made on the premises anymore. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of these restaurants are really struggling. Because people, they don't, you know, they're like, You know, why go? You know, just make something at home. Steak and Shake is weighing in on all of this because they've gone back to their roots and they're slamming Cracker Barrel for eliminating the old timer. They basically kicked the old dude out of their logo. They said sometimes people want to change things just to put their own personality on things. At Cracker Barrel, their goal is just to delete the personality altogether, hence the elimination of the old timer from the signage. Heritage is what got Cracker Barrel this far, and now the CEO wants to just scrape it all away. At Steak and Shake, we take pride in our history, our families, and American values, and all are welcome. We will never market ourselves away from our past in a cheap effort to gain the approval of trend seekers. So here's, I guess, my one question about all of this, and I never thought we'd be spending a week talking about Cracker Barrel, but hear me on this. And by the way, I used to love Cracker Barrel. I actually, Dylan, people are always shocked when they hear this story, but this is true, the God's honest truth. I actually had a Cracker Barrel rocking chair delivered to my office at Fox News headquarters, and it was quite the day when the Cracker Barrel rocking chair was delivered. I had everybody on the entire cast list of Fox News coming into my office to sit and rock in the Cracker Barrel rocking chair.
Todd, I always wondered how people actually bought those, because you know how they just set out. Do you bring it inside and then pay for it?
No, you have to put it together yourself.
Oh.
I had an extra part. I don't.
I wanted one, so I just wondered how it, you know.
So when Fox decided not to renew my contract, they sent me all my belongings, you know, my office. I never got my rocking chair back. I wanted to know where the rocking chair went.
I bet they still have it.
That's what I want to know. So anyway, here's my question as we go to break. Who are they trying to woo here? Right? Are they telling me that all of you Gen Zers out there who drink the, I don't know, liquefied lawn clippings and you eat the weird fish that nobody's ever heard, all that kind of sushi, all that kind of, are you telling me that that's the crowd you're trying to attract to your restaurants? Do you really think that's going to move the needle? Do you really think all of this is going to make your restaurant more attractive to the younger crowd? I don't think so. I really don't. It seems to be that they've got people over there that are in charge of marketing and they don't know anything and they want to be just like, I don't know, a P.F. Chang's or whatever. It's just like a wannabe ripoff. So good luck to you, but this is really bad. And look, Cracker Barrel could go belly up as a result of this. By the way, the first trivia question of the day, we want to know, where was the original Cracker Barrel located? You've got to give us the city and the state, the original Cracker Barrel, and you will receive a signed copy of my newest book, Star Spangled Blessings. Where was the original Cracker Barrel located, city and state? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. What's the saying? First they came for Aunt Jemima, but I did not speak out. Then they came for Uncle Ben, and still, I did not speak out. Then they came for the Land O'Lakes Indian gal, and I did not speak out. And then they came for Uncle Herschel, and there was no one left to speak for crackers. Getting a little misty here. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines, which are filled to the brim right now. Let's say hello to the lovely Tammy in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Tammy. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Todd. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I'm good. We're going to try to win you a prize here, a copy of my brand new book, Star Spangled Blessings. And it's a really good book. I'm actually very excited about this book.
I am too. I hope I win it.
Me too. All right, Tammy, it's very simple. You just have to tell us, where was the original Cracker Barrel located?
Lebanon, Tennessee.
Yes, you are correct, Tammy. Lebanon, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I love your show.
Well, thank you, Tammy. I do have a question, though. Have you been to Cracker Barrel lately, and have you been, like, in years past?
Yes, Todd. It's been a while, and the reason we haven't been lately, it's kind of like everybody's been discussing, it's just not been as good as it used to be. And so we just haven't really been back. We more go to the local meat and two veggie kind of place now instead of Cracker Barrel.
Tammy, do you remember, I'm going to see how far back you've been a Cracker Barrel fan, because when I first started going to Cracker Barrel, they had a smoking side and a non-smoking side, and they divided it with the lattice. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And a lot of restaurants were that way.
And I think the non-smoking side was actually smokier than the smoking side.
I think you're correct.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. I just, you know, you're right. There was just something. It was just the friendliness, you know, the hospitality. It's just not there. I mean, it's just they really have to do a complete overhaul. And I'll give credit to Chick-fil-A. They know how to do it. And you really have to bulldog that. You've got to stay focused on your operating principles. And I think Cracker Barrel just went astray.
You know, it goes back to the old saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And again, I hope they can figure it out. But honestly, we've got a great place. There's in Jackson, Tennessee, which, by the way, folks, this was what the original Cracker Barrel was based on, the old country store in the Casey Jones Village. So if you're ever traveling on I-40, it's worth a stop. Pull over. You're going to love it. You're going to have some great home-cooked meals, and you're going to have a lot of fun. So go check that out. The Old Country Store there in Jackson, Tennessee. Hey, Tammy, hang tight. We're going to get you that signed copy of my new book, Star Spangled Blessings, and hope you enjoy that book. And ladies and gentlemen, you can get a copy wherever you buy your books. You can also order a copy online, Amazon, or at ToddStearns.com. By the way, I'm happy to sign a copy for you, but I got to be honest with you. It's a lot cheaper at Amazon. That's what I would do. All right, hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the president is speaking at this very moment in the Oval Office. And if we can, guys, let's dip in to the, we'll get to that in just a moment. President Trump just announced that the World Cup is coming to the United States, and the building will house the 2026 World Cup offices. So that's the breaking news coming out of the Oval Office today, and we'll keep you updated on those developments. Again, our telephone number on Open Line Friday is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We've got a lot going on this hour of the program. Let's start the day by going to Sonny in Ocala, Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Sonny, I understand you wanted to weigh in on the whole Cracker Barrel thing. So your local Cracker Barrel, have they undergone the renovations?
Well, I was there yesterday, not yet. And I told him, I said, don't fix something that isn't broke. It's unbelievable what this new CEO of Cracker Barrel is doing. I think you've got a head you know where, and it ain't in the sunlight.
Yeah.
But anyway, I enjoy going there, and I'm telling you, it's either normal occupancy, or it's got a crowd, and they still have the lattice work between one section and the other section, although I don't know if they allow smoking anymore. But the atmosphere is what, sells the place, plus they do sell, different items that can be bought, people might want, like souvenirs and stuff. So I'm very happy with the way it is, Like I said, don't fix something that ain't broke.
You know, Sonny, it's like adding, tablecloths to Waffle House. You got to let the things be. Just let it be.
The other thing is they have barrels there. They have rocking chairs and everything right out there. You can buy right from the place there. Take it home with you if you want.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, I bought a Cracker Barrel rocking chair, and they're nice rocking chairs. I really like them. But then they embraced, there was a moment where they were really going all in on the whole LGBT activism, and they had, rainbow-colored rocking chairs, and they were really going in on the whole diversity thing. And I think every time you see a company go down that path, it is a path that ultimately leads to destruction. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's true. And Cracker Barrel really strayed very, very far, I think, from the roots of its founder.
Well, the Cracker Barrel that I go to here in Ocala, Florida, go up a State Road 200 and I-75, I didn't see any of those things. I saw, they had the barrels, they had white rockers, they had finished rockers and or black in the front. You could, talk to the person inside and buy it. Take it home.
There you go. So, Sonny, you know what you're going to have to do? You and the loyal customers, you may have to barricade yourselves in there in case the decorators show up.
Hell, I just can't, change for the sake of change never fixed anything.
That's a fair point. Sonny, good hearing from you, my friend, and enjoy your local Cracker Barrel that has been so far salvaged. But the new management at Cracker Barrel says everybody they've talked to love all of the changes. They love the new logo, and it was time for Uncle Herschel to go. So there you have it. Let's go to Pat in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN territory. Hi, Pat. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Pat.
We love you here in Gainesville.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to say what a great job Donald Trump's doing.
Pat, did you see the video last night when he went to go visit the police officers and was serving him pizza and burgers?
I did. That was wonderful.
I kept thinking that's what servant leadership looks like. When you take a look at Donald Trump, he's always going out of his way to shake every single person's hand. Everybody matters, all the way back to the fry cook. Remember that when he went to the McDonald's on the campaign trail?
Right. I loved it. And I want to say something about Cracker Barrel. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Remember New Coke? Remember when they introduced that debacle years
ago?
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. I love Cracker Barrel, but I haven't been lately. But from all I'm hearing, I don't want to go.
You're better off just going to your local diner there. If you got a good local meat and three, and by the way, you've got a great one there. Is Longstreet? Longstreet is still there, I have to imagine.
Love Longstreet.
Well, you've got no reason to go to Cracker Barrel then.
Exactly.
And they don't pay me to say that. They ought to.
I would love to have one of your books.
Well, you know what, Pat? I'm feeling kind of generous today. I am.
Oh,
so,
gosh, are you?
So, Pat, yeah, you twisted my arm. You sweet talked me.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, shucks. All right, Pat, we're going to put you on hold. Guys, let's get Pat a copy of Star Spangled Blessings. Can we do that? All right, we'll take care of you, Pat. Look, Pat, thank you for calling in, and you be sure to go over and say hello to the good folks at Longstreet. Tell them Todd Stern said howdy.
Sure will.
All right, there you go. I'm a sucker, guys. I am. What can I say? It is what it is. All right, I want to play some audio here. And by the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Now, we had Troy Miller on the show yesterday on Newsmax, and we told you about Dr. James Dobson, who passed away yesterday. And Dr. Dobson, I think, really is going to be remembered as a consequential figure in American history, especially within the American evangelical movement, because Dr. Dobson was not only a born-again believer, but he was also a trained psychologist, one of the top radio hosts in America, and he really influenced many moms and dads across the country. I mean, he was really right up there with the Jerry Falwells and Pat Robertsons, the Charles Stanleys, the Adrian Rogers, as far as being influential, the Billy Graham. And this is a man who was incredibly well-educated and well-trained, started Focus on the Family, and then there was a big dust-up with Focus, and I don't want to get into all of that, but he really did make an impact in the lives of so many people, and was an incredibly prolific author, and was one of the first people to come out and actually support and throw his support behind President Trump. And yet people on the left, and especially the woke evangelical crowd like Christianity Today, they couldn't stand James Dobson, couldn't stand the guy. There was one professor at Calvin University wrote a book called Jesus and John Wayne, and attacked the ideal of Christian masculinity that she said was created by James Dobson. It was a vision that promised protection for women, but left women without defense. One that worshipped power and turned a blind eye to justice, and one that transformed the Jesus of the Gospels into an image of their own making. So I'm curious, how do you remember James Dobson, and what kind of an influence did he have on you and your child rearing? Because there were, I think, just about everybody in my church community and church circles read the book Dare to Discipline that first came out back in 1970, and he wrote a lot of other great books. Dr. Dobson Answers Your Questions About Raising Children, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women, Parenting Isn't for Cowards, The Strong-Willed Child. He wrote that in 92. So there were, I mean, this was a guy who truly, truly made a great difference in a lot of people's lives. So yesterday on Newsmax, I had Troy Miller on the show. He is president of the National Religious Broadcasters. And gosh, he also weighed in on President Trump and some things Trump said about faith during our interview yesterday. So let's take a listen to Troy Miller.
Well, joining me now is Troy Miller, the president and CEO of National Religious Broadcasters. Troy, what is the significance of James Dobson's ministry?
Oh, I'm not sure I can even put that into words. You know, as Franklin Graham said, this is five decades of ministry. I'm not sure that there's anybody who's had more impact on families in this country than James Dobson has, not only through his radio programs, his media, but his books. I mean, you know, when my wife and I were in the 80s raising our kids in the 80s and 90s, you know, The Strong-Willed Child, that book was referenced a lot in our home.
Yeah, I was one of those strong-willed children, and my parents actually read his stuff. I wasn't too appreciative back when I was a child, but now it's a different story. You know, it's interesting, Troy, because we really have lost two great men. Of course, you have John MacArthur, who passed recently, and now James Dobson. And people always wonder who is going to be there to pick up the baton and keep sharing and making an impact at that level in the culture.
Yeah, and look, God's always raised people up, and so we have a number of pastors that are, you know, stepping up to God's calling to you know, media today and calling to influence the family and influence the culture. And they're doing that, as you said, you know, on the bedrock of Christianity, but on the shoulders of giants like James Dobson and Dr. MacArthur, Dr. Kennedy. We lost Pat Robertson recently, you know, so we have a change in that generation. But look, I want to say something about your last segment. We're also seeing a lot of younger generation, Gen Z and the millennials, who are really stepping up and rejecting the messages of the culture today. And they're going back to those family fundamentals that Dr. Dobson taught us all. And that is so encouraging.
You know, I spoke with President Trump earlier today, and we had a conversation about faith. Here's what he had to say.
They were the backbone of this country, and they still are. But they were dwindling. But I'm telling you, they're coming back. Religion's coming back. And religion brings our country together.
Do you agree with the president there that we are seeing a resurgence?
I couldn't agree with the president more that we're not only seeing a resurgence. Look, we've seen a number of indications. Bible sales over the last year are up. Young men going to church is up. People returning to church is up. Even our own recent Barna study showed that 68% of Gen Zers interact with some form of Christian media on a regular basis,
wow.
And 58% of millennials. Look, Todd, 60% of the country as a whole interacts with some form of Christian media on a regular basis. So, yeah, I think there's a real resurgence into faith. There's been a time where people were, as the president said, they were pushed aside, and now his administration
right.
has really opened up that freedom.
All right. That was a bit of our interview with Troy Miller on my Newsmax show yesterday. MS, dadgummit, it's going to take me a while. PMS now. They used to be MSDNC. It's hard to get that out of the system. PMS now is celebrating the death of James Dobson. And they say that he promoted a harsh disciplinarian Christianity. And Dobson, I didn't realize this, he was raised in the Church of the Nazarene. But anyway, they credit him with the worldview of family-based Republican politics. If you want to know why so many evangelicals are plugged into the Republican Party, it's because of James Dobson. But here's their big problem with him. They say that he advocated spanking children and that discipline rooted in fear, not love, was a hallmark of Dobson's teachings. I don't think that's true. But there's nothing wrong with putting a little fear of God into your little heathen urchins. I'm just saying. Anyway, curious to hear your thoughts. Do you have memories about Dr. James Dobson? Well, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. It is Open Line Friday. Let's go to Joe in Wilmington, Delaware. Hi, Joe.
Todd, somebody said you wanted to talk to the President of the United States. And I was, so I decided to call.
Wait,
this is Joe. And I would. Wait. Hey.
Hello?
Whoa. No, never mind. He's a little confused today. Come on, Joe. Let's go to bed.
Oh, hello? Joe, did we lose. Dylan, did we lose the connection?
Yeah, we lost him.
All right. Joe, give us a call. You know, That sounded, no, it couldn't have been.
Surely not.
No, no. But the other guy sounded like, no, it couldn't have been that guy either. No. You know why? Because, but it could have been. I mean, you know, Joe's got our number, and he may have heard Trump and talking about we were going to have the president on him. Maybe. I mean, I don't know any other Joe from Wilmington, Delaware, but who knows? All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. President Trump just moments ago announcing that he's going to be doing the next big crime initiative in Chicago.
To do, we have to. And after we do this, we'll go to another location and we'll make it safe also. We're going to make our country very safe. We're going to make our cities very, very safe. Chicago's a mess. You have an incompetent mayor, grossly incompetent. And we'll straighten that one out probably next. That'll be our next one after this. And it won't even be tough. And the people in Chicago, Mr. Vice President, are screaming for us to come.
Yes, they are.
They're wearing red hats, just like this one. But they're wearing red hats. African-American ladies, beautiful ladies, are saying, please, President Trump, come to Chicago. Please. I did great with the black vote, as you know, and they want something to happen. So I think Chicago will be our next, and then we'll help with New York, and we're going to help with... And I think a lot of... And a lot of these people that you see on television, they're including the people in this audience. They'll say bad things about me, and then they'll say, thank God he's here, because half of them got mugged.
Well, that's true. Come on, Memphis, Mr. President. We need your help down here, please. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I just got something from one of our listeners in Memphis, and it involves you folks at the University of Virginia. So there's been a lot of controversy over DEI policies on university campuses. Of course, President Trump's executive order is supposed to remove all federal funding from schools that do not eradicate DEI education. And that brings me to an event that UVA is hosting next Friday for the Center for Teaching Excellence. And they have invited a University of Memphis professor. A name is Amanda Lee Kikikakatloa Savage. She's Hawaiian. Amanda Lee Kikikakatloa Savage. We're just going to call her Amanda Savage. Or can we call her Kikikakaloa? Kikikakaloa sounds cuckoo, and you're going to understand why here in a moment. It turns out that she's going to be teaching about decolonizing your university. The University of Virginia, in a statement saying, challenge what the settler state, the settlement of the University of Virginia that we're on, which is still a plantation, and has all of its plantation artifice up, right, and artifacts. I'm trying to really ride the wheels off of this institutional resource and go for broke. Decolonial theorists actually see the university itself as a form of colonization. Colonialism is a psychic process as much as a material one. Jeez, Lou. So anyway, Professor Kikikakaloa from the University of Memphis, who lists her pronouns as she/her, says that she is the co-creator of the Tiger Food Pantry. She chairs the Pride and Equity Alliance and is a vice president of the West Tennessee chapter of United Campus Workers. She's the co-founder of Native Rights, an indigenous-led organization advocating for educational and political sovereignty for Native peoples in the Mid-South. So why is she here and not back in Hawaii? Why does she have a beef with us? Geez, Lou. So she goes on to say, these are the seminars that she's going to that she's going to be teaching. Seeing the unseen, identifying the and unlearning colonial paradigms in higher education. She's also going to be teaching professors how to decolonize their syllabus. What does that even mean? So we're going to keep you updated on all of this, but clearly two universities, UVA in Virginia and the University of Memphis, you guys have big, big problems. Speaking of Virginia, we told you earlier in the show about the ugly racist poster that was held up and was displayed at a Winsome Sears campaign event. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now and say hello to Matthew Hurt, who is joining us from an airport somewhere in America. But Matthew, you run the Republican roost there over in Virginia. Good to have you with us.
Todd, it's great to be with you. I'm the chairman of the Arlington County Republican Committee, where 80% of my neighbors, living and dead, voted for Kamala Harris in the last election. So there's nowhere to go but up.
My condolences there. This is true. Look, I got to tell you, Matthew, I'm actually kind of glad this woman, you know, had this poster, because we've been saying for a long time that the Democrats have been slowly marching back to their KKK Jim Crow roots.
White progressive women, and they make up a majority of the voters in Arlington. I've lived there for 16 years. I can tell you, they do not believe in diversity of thought, especially when there are Hispanics, Latinos, African Americans, and anybody else who strays from their plantation, from their liberal plantation. And this woman, outside a school board meeting last night, welcoming Winsome Sears, had the most incorrigible racist sign. And just in the last 24 hours, America now knows exactly the kind of nasty progressives who live in Arlington, Virginia. It is absolutely outrageous.
You know, when you see these women, and you're right, I mean, this is predominantly, this is the typical Democrat woman in America, and it explains why all the Democrat guys are like soy boys. I mean, you know, they do not wear the pants in this political relationship.
Well, polls consistently show that progressive women are less happy. They are unhappy. And this is the culture in Arlington. And I'm so grateful to Winsome Sears for coming to Arlington, to the belly of the beast, to make the case as a mother, as a grandmother, that Tier 3 30-year sex offenders should not be exposing their genitals to 9-year-old girls in school bathrooms. This is not a controversial point of view for 80% of the American people, but it is overwhelmingly controversial to the five women who run the school board and the progressive activists who run Arlington and have for a long time. And that's exactly why I'm fighting as chairman. We have a school board candidate. We have a local county board candidate. And we've got candidates up and down the ballot who are going to boost Winsome Sears in this election, and it took courage for her to come to Arlington last night, and we are so grateful for it.
Do we have any idea who this woman is? And again, I think it's hilarious that you've got three white female Democrats telling a black woman. This is mind-boggling.
She has been identified, Todd. It is a misdemeanor in Virginia for me to dox that individual, but I have written her I write handwritten thank you cards to my volunteers, to my generous donors, and to wacky progressives who excite the Arlington Republican base. And I sent her this morning from Atlanta, where I'm at the RNC meeting, I sent her a handwritten thank you card. I said, thank you so much for your display of racism, because now my Arlington Republicans are fired up to support Winsome Sears. But we do have her name. She's an Abigail Spanberger volunteer, and very likely a paid protester with the Indivisible family of left-wing quote-unquote grassroots groups.
Wow, this is it's ugly out there, no doubt about it. By the way, Spanberger is weighing in on all this now. She said, as I said yesterday, the sign displayed in Arlington last night was racist and abhorrent. Many Virginians remember the segregated water fountains and buses. Okay, very few people remember. It's a long time ago, but it looks to me like they want to bring those things back. I mean, it's her supporter, for crying out loud.
Well, women like the one holding the sign last night are pining for the days of segregation in Arlington, and that is exactly what we have in Arlington anyway. is an ideological and a demographic segregation where it is overwhelmingly angry white women who are who would never stray outside of their social circle to engage with any other culture or anyone else, and they would have this kind of thing to say, this kind of off-color racist remark to say about a strong black immigrant like Winsome Sears. She served in the Marines. She's hard charging. And I will say this week, Winsome has been in Loudoun County where those two boys were suspended. She was in Arlington last night. This is the energy and enthusiasm that is going to motivate her volunteers and her campaigns through to November. And we are very excited about what we've seen. And I am not surprised, as the chairman of the Arlington County Republican Committee, that she was welcomed to Arlington by angry racist progressives.
No doubt about that. And Matt, before we let you go, a couple of things. I want you to fill our listeners in on this situation, because you had two boys. They were very concerned and alarmed when there was a girl filming them in their bathroom or locker room, and she's claiming to be trans. So when the boys complained, they're the ones that got punished.
Well, you pick a radical gender ideology scandal, and there's a county in Northern Virginia that has it. In Loudoun, three teen boys saw a girl walk into the bathroom. She was filming. They said, this is odd. They were caught on camera. One of the boys is a Muslim, so the school system dropped the suspension for him because that would be intolerant. In Fairfax, it is alleged that the school system is using taxpayer funds to pay for underage abortions for students in Fairfax County high schools. And then in Arlington, we have, no joke, a 30-year Tier 3 sex offender who was allowed to go into girls' locker rooms and bathrooms in high school for months and expose himself and pleasure himself in front of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old girls. And it's absolutely whatever you think the worst thing progressives could do in our school system, they are doing it in five counties across Northern Virginia. And that's exactly why Donald Trump, President Trump's Department of Education, has levied these Title IX punishments against these jurisdictions.
So Roanoke College has the latest polling data out, and there may be others, but this is one I'm looking at from 3 days ago, and it looks as though Sears is narrowing the gap here, but still the Democrat Spanberger holds a 7-point lead over Sears, and it's a pretty tight race on the lieutenant governor side as well. What's the issue there? I mean, do you guys bounce back and forth between Republicans and Democrats?
We do. If a Republican is in the White House, then our Republican candidate has a higher road to climb. If a Democrat's in the White House and there's a challenge, you know, when Joe Biden was in the White House, Glenn Youngkin got elected, and that's sort of how Virginia goes. That said, this week, the energy and the momentum and the enthusiasm is on Winsome's side, and I think if she can hammer this messaging home, where is Abigail Spanberger in Congress? She voted to allow men to be in women's bathrooms, but where is she on these issues with her milquetoast statement? She's running a Joe Biden campaign from the basement, and if Winsome is on offense, she's got a great chance to close this gap and to go across the finish line in November as our next governor.
All right. Well, we have a lot of listeners across the Commonwealth, and I know they're all fascinated by this and really fired up. Matthew, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck to you, and thank you. By the way, great post, social media post. That certainly caught our attention here.
Well, thank you, Todd. Thanks for everything that you do.
All right. Matthew Hurt, ladies and gentlemen, chair of the Republican Party there in Arlington County of Virginia. Wow, what a mess. It's insane, just the cluelessness. But I'm telling you, it's not just the Democrats. The nation at large, we got a big problem with these wacko, liberal, Subaru driver female Democrats. They are bonkers crazy. All right, we got to take a break here. We're going back to the phone lines, 901-260-5926 if you want to weigh in. That's 901-260-5926. Newsmax going public on the New York Stock Exchange, and millions of people are joining our news revolution. It's very exciting to see. Newsmax is now the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for all sorts of great content. By the way, download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Start watching today. President Trump's a big fan. Get the free Newsmax app and check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Just got a text message. Starnes, any word on whether they rummaged through John Bolton's lingerie drawer? I'd prefer not to think about that. And even if they did, I don't want to know. I think the nation is better off not knowing. We don't want. And by the way, if you are a praying person, I would put the agents who had to rummage through John Bolton's drawers on your prayer list. Thoughts and prayers. Let's go to Ocala, Florida, WOCA Jameson. Hi, Jameson. What's on your mind today?
We had a wicked lightning storm yesterday during your show, and the radio station I was listening to you got blown off the air, and I was glad later on when I came back that they were back.
But, well, we're glad they're back on the air. Absolutely. So what's on your mind? Is that what you wanted to call in to let us know?
No, I was called about Sonny. Sonny needs a shirt, too. He's an all-day-long listener.
Well, definitely. We'll try to get Sonny hooked up with one of those shirts as well.
All right. Take care.
Hey, Jameson, thank you. Glad you're okay. You know, those Florida storms in the summertime, whoo, sweet mercy. Sweet mercy. By the way, I've narrowed the vacation list down to, I think, three or four locations, which is basically the same it was before. I'm having a hard time deciding if I even need to go on a vacation because I always get the messages, Starnes, when are you coming back? And I want to take a few days off. But if you have any recommendations, ladies and gentlemen, on where I need to go, give me a holler. All right, let's go to Mike in Memphis, Tennessee. Mike, what's on your mind?
Greetings, Todd. I just wanted to do a follow-up. A month ago, you talked about the movie that was showing in Memphis called Sovereign. And being a fellow that's been in this area for most of my life, I kind of keep up with everything. And I have contacts with FedEx, where I used to be a manager years ago. But the thing is that if you watch that movie, they show a clip that's supposed to be the official video cam footage from the officer's car, which I recall them showing a couple of weeks after that incident, and they claim it was the original footage. What you'll notice is the Dodge minivan that Mr. Kane is supposed to be
Mike,
driving.
Let me stop you here for a second. I have no earthly idea what you're talking about here. So what are we talking about? Because I'm fairly sure nobody else in the audience does either. What are we talking about? What movie?
The movie called Sovereign. It came out a month ago. You spoke about it.
No, I'm fairly certain I didn't. But anyway, what's the movie about?
Well, it's about a guy named Jerry Kane and his son who are accused of shooting two West Memphis police officers. But if you look at the video that's supposed to be the actual footage, you'll see the guy in the driver's side that's supposed to be Mr. Kane is the same height as the minivan, but Jerry Kane is 6'5". He stood almost a foot taller than the minivan. That was not Jerry Kane. That was a created video.
So what's the point? What is the point of this? Are you saying that they're innocent or they were wrongly convicted or the movie's bad?
What it turns out is that these officers stopped a large shipment of drugs a week earlier, and the drug cartel came along to pay them back. It was part of the Fast and Furious operation under the Obama administration, and they were not going to let anybody know about that because these Mexicans were allowed to ship drugs in and return guns back. And that's what was going on. And a FedEx driver actually saw a white van open up the doors and they machine gunned these two officers and killed them. But it wasn't Jerry Kane. Those were patsies because they wanted to demonize people that were exposing that we the people have rights and we have the right to travel without licenses. And that's what they were doing. They were just traveling across the country.
You got a driver's license, Mike? You don't have a driver's license?
Not since 88. And I haven't had a ticket since 88.
Well, I hope you don't get pulled over.
I get pulled over all the time, but I don't get tickets because I'm exercising a right. It's something that most people don't know. They've been conditioned not to know they have rights. But the point is that they were framed.
I'm not sure what the point is. What's the point here, Mike?
It's a false narrative. We the people have been lied to. We need to wake up and taking back responsibility.
How do you get on board an airplane?
Well, I'm a pilot. I fly myself. I have my own airplane.
Do you have a permit for that?
Todd, I've been flying since the 80s.
Do you have a permit for that, though? I mean, you have to get a permit, right? A license to fly, right?
No, not at all.
Oh, so you can just literally go out to the airport and fly an airplane.
Todd, I own an airplane.
Okay.
I've got a registered run. But Todd, you got a real ID. You're not required to have that to drive. You can still get a driver's license.
I'm still trying to grasp the whole idea of you don't have a driver's license. That's right. Fascinating. Yes. All right, we got to go, Mike. The computer's going to cut us off, and I'm not quite sure what the whole point of this conversation was. I wish I knew. Maybe it was just me. It's Friday. Interesting. You do need a real ID to fly within the United States, though. I mean, the last time I went through a TSA checkpoint, but, you know, maybe I'll try it Mike's way and see what happens. Can somebody bail me out? We'll be right back, everybody.